Welcome to the Ogletree Deacons Podcast, a brief discussion of compelling legal issues and practical insights. Please note that the information in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to be, nor should it be construed as legal advice. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or through your favorite podcast service. Please consider rating and reviewing so that we may continue to provide the content that covers your needs. Please enjoy the program.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another podcast by Ogletree Deacons. Today, we are going to be talking about what's happening in the California legislature with regards to employment law legislation. My name is Charles Thompson. I'm a shareholder in the San Francisco office, and I focus on COVID-related advice, leaves of absence, and also trials. So today, we have with us Mike Nader. Now, Mike Nader is a shareholder in our Sacramento office. Mike, you and I used to work together in the San Francisco office, right?
That's right, Charles.
Yeah, and then Mike left us and decided to work for one of our wine company clients for a couple of years, but we are lucky to have him back in our Sacramento office. He focuses his practice on class actions, representative actions, and those especially involving wage and hour claims. And he has served as lead defense counsel on many significant California wage and hour class actions and PAGA claims. And Mike is one of the persons I go to when I have questions in this area. Mike, though, because he is stationed in Sacramento, also closely follows employment law developments at the Capitol and regularly publishes commentaries in Ogletree's California blog and publications like the Daily Journal and the Society of Human Resources online. He's also recorded two podcasts with the California Chamber of Commerce and on the Private Attorneys General's Act. So, Mike, you're in Sacramento. What's happening at the Capitol in Sacramento these days?
Well, Charles, as you know, early last month in July, the California Senate and Assembly decided not to return from their summer recess because of the continued spread of the coronavirus, which had infected several staffers and members in the legislature. So instead of returning from recess on Monday, July 13, the legislature returned on Monday, July 27. And this two-week setback was in addition to an already shortened schedule after the Capitol shut down for more than a month in March, again, because of the pandemic. So with the shortened legislative calendar, several bills, including bills addressing workplace issues, were withdrawn. And these included just a couple of examples. A bill that would have recognized medical marijuana patients as new protected classes in the workplace, entitled to disability accommodations. But that bill was withdrawn for now, but will likely come back next year. And another bill would have expanded paid sick leave for behavioral health conditions, but that bill has also been withdrawn and may come back next year. But despite the setback, the legislature has still forged ahead with many new bills that can significantly impact California employers. And the legislature is now sprinting towards the August 31 deadline to the legislative session to pass the bills and send them to the governor for signature.
Okay, great, Mike. I'm having an image right now of the legislature sprinting towards a deadline. I'm going to assume that many of the bills that the legislature's going to be addressing or dealing with are related somehow to the pandemic. So let me ask this. Are there any specific bills that come to mind that you think California employers should be aware of?
Yes, and you're absolutely right. I mean, the bills that are receiving most attention are somewhat related to the pandemic because they deal with either sick leave or bereavement leave or leave under the California Family Rights Act. The first one that I'd like to mention is Assembly Bill 2999, AB 2999. Which proposes to mandate bereavement leave as a new form of protective leave in California. Now, current California law, as you know, does not require that employers provide bereavement leave for employees. But most clients provide the benefit as a form of unpaid leave, typically for up to 5 working days. Originally, AB 2999 would have required all employers in the state to provide employees with up to 10 business days of unpaid bereavement leave, and to refrain from interfering with or restraining employees from taking such leave. Now, the bill has been amended to still require employers to provide the 10 business days of unpaid leave, but has allowed small businesses, which are defined as employers with fewer than 25 employees, to grant an employee up to 3 business days of unpaid bereavement leave upon the death of a spouse, child, parent, sibling, grandparent, grandchild, or domestic partner. Now, the days of leave would not need to be consecutive. However, the leave must be completed within 3 months following the related death. And the bill covers all employees, as there are no accrual requirements under the bill. However, the bill would not apply to an employee covered by a valid collective bargaining agreement if the CBA expressly provides 4 things. It already provides some form of bereavement leave. Number 2, the CBA provides the terms of wages, hours of work, and working conditions of employees. Number 3, the CBA provides premium wage rates for overtime hours. And 4, the CBA sets a base pay of not less than 30% more than the minimum wage. AB 2999 also provides that any employee who is discharged, disciplined, or discriminated against for exercising his or her right to bereavement leave under the bill may file a complaint with the California Department of Industrial Relations and the DLSE, or file a civil action against their employer for reinstatement, actual damages, and attorney fees.
Now, when you say that it's not accrued, what do you mean by that?
That means that if an employee just started working for the employer, they would be entitled to this leave, unlike the traditional, for example, sick leave, where you have to be an employee for a certain amount of time before you're eligible. Here, there's no eligibility requirement for accrual.
So it's like a lump sum.
That's right.
Okay. All right. So what's the current status of the bill? Do you think it's going to pass?
I think it will. It passed the assembly floor in June and is in the process of being considered and amended in the Senate. In these times of a pandemic, I think the bill is likely to become law in some form.
Okay. And is the leave paid? I know you mentioned, but is the leave paid?
No, the bill mandates unpaid leave. However, if an employer has a current policy that provides for paid bereavement leave, AB 2999 is not intended to replace that employee benefit. And if the employer does not have an existing bereavement leave policy or paid bereavement leave policy, then the bill would require unpaid leave, except that an employee may use vacation, personal leave, or compensatory time off that is otherwise available to the employee.
Okay, it's unpaid, but they get to use, if they've accrued any vacation or any other time off, they can use it.
That's correct.
Okay. And so what steps do you think employers can take now if they want to prepare for this bill that's likely to become law?
Well, employers may consider the following. First, review your bereavement leave policies and ensure that you have a formal practice in place to enable employees to request bereavement leave. You want to make sure that that's well documented. Second, if you want to plan ahead in the expectation that the bill will pass, consider drafting a bereavement leave policy that notifies employees of the new protected leave, including the required documentation for the leave in the acceptable forms stated in the bill. Third, also consider training managers and supervisors on this anticipated new form of protective leave to ensure that they understand that proper requests for leave must be granted and that they do not interfere with an employee taking the leave. Fourth, also consider training leave specialists in your team to ensure that they properly administer the leave, including documentation showing that the leave was granted and tracking the progress of the leave through the 3-month period when the employee can take days of bereavement leave on a consecutive or non-consecutive basis. And finally, many employers review risk assessment checklists before they make termination decisions, and those checklists usually indicate all potential protected activity taken by the employee in the prior year before the termination decision is finalized. So employers may consider adding bereavement leave as a form of protected activity to consider before proceeding with the termination of an employee for poor performance reasons.
All right. And if the bill is passed, if the legislature does pass it, when would the bill go into effect?
If it's signed by the governor, it will go into effect January 1, 2021.
All right. Any other bills you think employers might want to be concerned about right now?
Yeah, another significant bill is Assembly Bill 3216, which expands leave and job protections for employees during a state of emergency like the current pandemic, including leave under the California Family Rights Act, the CFRA, and paid sick leave. Now, the stated policy goal of the bill is to enable any employee impacted by COVID-19 to be allowed to recover away from work or care for a family member who is impacted by the pandemic without the fear of risking their employment or placing their coworkers at greater risk. The bill would amend provisions of the California Family Rights Act to include the following. Here's some following examples of the amendments. First, the bill would expand the definition of family care and medical leave to include leave to care for a family member whose school or place of care has been closed or is unavailable due to a state of emergency. Also, leave because of an employee's inability to work or telework due to a state of emergency involving any of the following circumstances. And there are four. Number one, being subject to a federal, state, or local quarantine or isolation order, including a shelter-in-place or stay-at-home order. Number two, being advised to self-quarantine by a healthcare provider due to exposure to the disease that is the subject of the state of emergency. Three, experience symptoms of the disease that is the subject of the state of emergency. Or four, being a member of or caring for a member of a vulnerable population that is at high risk, severe illness from the disease. The bill also authorizes an employee to provide self-certification of a serious health condition due to a state of emergency if obtaining medical certification is not feasible.
And what's the status of that bill? Do you think that's going to pass?
You know, I think so. AB 3216 passed the Assembly in June and is going through the amendment process in the Senate. And again, in this year of the pandemic, I think it is likely that the bill will pass in some form, but there are significant efforts to amend the bill right now.
Can you tell us anything about those potential amendments?
Certainly. I mean, first of all, the meaning of state of emergency. I mean, what does that mean? And does that really limit the bill? So, for example, in California, there have been 21 states of emergency declared since 2017 alone. So it seems that at any given time, there is at least one county in the state that is covered by a state of emergency. And just last December of 2019, the governor issued a proclamation, you know, finally terminating almost 70 states of emergency dating back to 2011. So states of emergency are frequent and long-lived in California. So the question remains, when is California not in a state of emergency? And when would the provisions of AB 3216 not apply? In essence, is this really a permanent amendment to the CFRA? And that is a question still being addressed in the Senate amendment process.
Let's talk about 3216 just a few more minutes. What else does AB 3216 propose?
You know, the bill would also expand the circumstances in which paid sick days may be used to include, you know, the following sick situations. You know, an employee who is subject to or caring for a family member who is subject to a federal, state, or local public health order related to a public health emergency. Number two, an employee caring for a family member whose school or place of care has been closed or is unavailable due to a state of emergency. Number three, an employee whose place of employment is closed by the employer or by a public health official due to a state of emergency. Four, an employee who's subject to a federal, state, or local evacuation order related to a state of emergency. And number five, the bill would also provide for paid emergency sick leave if a public health emergency is declared by the governor. And that would be 3 days or 24 hours of work as the status of the paid sick leave. And the bill would require that the paid sick leave be made available immediately.
Now, is there anything else this bill does?
You know, the bill also provides right to rehire and worker retention provisions for certain industries. So, for example, it applies to employers that operate an enterprise that is defined as a hotel, event center, airport hospitality operation, or the provision of building services to office, retail, or other commercial buildings.
Mike, I'm sorry for interrupting, but when you say the provision of building services, what employees are we actually talking about?
Well, I think janitorial employees, for example.
Yeah, what about security?
Security as well. I believe that's correct. I mean, it's still being hammered out, the scope of that definition. But I think it's those two would apply.
Yeah, I think it's janitors and security. I think that's what's going on. All right. And anything else? I'm sorry for interrupting you.
Oh, the provisions would require an employer to offer its laid off employees jobs that those employees previously held or jobs that are similar to those employees, The provisions would provide employees with protection from retaliation for enforcing their rights of recall and retention. They could bring a claim with the DLSE or file a civil lawsuit. And the bill also provides that the remedies for violating an employee's right of recall or retention may include hiring and reinstatement, front pay or back pay, the value of any benefits the employee would have received, and reasonable attorney fees and costs.
It sounds an awful lot like the ordinance that already exists in Los Angeles about right to recall and retention. It has the same enforcement mechanism. All right. And if the bill passes, it would be effective when?
January 1, 2021.
All right. Any other important bills you would like to tell our listeners about?
Sure. So Senate bill. So now we'll move over to the Senate. Senate Bill 1383 also expands coverage under the California Family Rights Act. The bill passed the Senate in June and is now being considered by the Assembly. Specifically, this bill expands the CFRA to cover domestic partners, grandparents, grandchildren, siblings, and parents-in-law. It expands the definition of a child to include a child of a domestic partner and defines employer as any person who directly employs five or more persons. So that's the most significant change. Current law, of course, under the CFRA only applies to employers who employ 50 or more employees. So this new bill would effectively include all employers in the state or anyone who has five or more employees. The bill also expands family care and medical leave to include leave to care for a grandparent, grandchild, sibling, or domestic partner who has a serious health condition. And it includes leave because of a qualifying exigency related to the active duty of an employee's spouse, domestic partner, child, or parent in the armed forces. Now, the bill also provides that it is an unlawful employment practice for an employer to refuse to grant an employee to take up to 12 work weeks of parental leave to bond with a new child within 1 year of the child's birth, adoption, or foster care placement. Thus, after a period of parental leave, an employee is guaranteed employment in the same or comparable position. It's also unlawful to refuse to hire or to discharge or discriminate against an individual who exercises their right to parental leave or gives testimony or information in an inquiry or proceeding regarding parental leave rights. Under current law, when both new parents are employees of the same employer, the CFRA allows employers to limit leave to 12 work weeks in a 12-month period between both parents. But SB 1383 would eliminate this exemption, allowing both parents to take 12 work weeks each for CFRA leave. And the bill also eliminates the highly compensated exemption to the CFRA's employee reinstatement provisions.
What are some of the employer concerns about the bill?
Well, employers have several concerns. First of all, it would disproportionately impact small employers in California with only five employees, for example, exposing them to costly litigation, even for unintentional mistakes, and imposing a significant administrative burden. You know, small employers do not have a dedicated human resources team or in-house counsel to advise them on how to properly administer this leave, document it, track it, obtain medical verifications, etc. So the regulations on implementing the 12 weeks of leave under the CFRA are approximately 36 pages long, and a small employer is bound to make an unintentional mistake along the way, which will cost them in litigation. And with the leave being protected, that means that an employer must return the employee to the same position that the employee had before going out on leave. This means holding a position open for 3 months or more. You know, you can fill the position with a temporary employee, but that always comes at a premium and is short term. And the short term employee may be less dedicated to the position and often leave for a better opportunity at a moment's notice. Also, many jobs require an extensive amount of time and money to train a new employee, which would add another cost. And some employers have to shift the work to other existing employees, which often leads to overtime pay in those situations as well.
Wow. Well, Mike, we really appreciate you keeping track of the legislation happening in Sacramento. Can we continue to rely on you to look out after that and keep us informed?
Absolutely. I'd be glad to continue to discuss other bills that are pending and the progress of these bills as well as they go through the legislative process.
That'd be great. And can I officially invite you back right now to tell us about whatever bills actually do pass?
Absolutely. And I'd be glad to be back.
Great. Thank you, Mike, for all your hard work and keeping us up to date on this. Thank you, everyone, for listening in. And we will look forward to having you listen in on another California podcast. Thanks very much.
Thank you for joining us on the Ogletree Deacons podcast. You can subscribe to our podcasts on Apple Podcasts or through your favorite podcast service. Please consider rating and reviewing so that we may continue to provide the content that covers your needs. And remember, the information in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not to be construed as legal advice.